Our apology for the late posting of this program. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the toasty studio of the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, with this rain report.
This is the rain report. The primary method by which new hams learn about repeater basics today is by osmosis. That is, absorbing what is heard on a repeater, whether that be right or wrong. So for the new ham, and for those who should know better, here are some repeater basics, excerpted from a talk by CQVHF magazine editor Rich Moseson, NW2L. His first target? Those vinyl-clad dummy loads, otherwise known as rubber duckies.
It is probably the most inefficient antenna ever built. And it doesn't matter who built it. These are not built for efficiency. Anyone know what they are built for? Convenience and portability. If you're using an HT in your car or at home, take this off. Use a real antenna, preferably on your roof of your house or your car. Attach it with some coax, and you will be amazed at the difference. That said, that real antenna doesn't have to be fancy. A simple quarter-wave ground plane or a 5/8 wave gain antenna, something like a J-pole that you may have seen described, these will do very nicely in most cases. You only need the gain and directivity of a beam antenna when you're trying to access a faraway repeater. And remember, the basic idea behind repeaters is to let them do most of the work. They have the sensitive receivers. They have the high-power transmitters. They have the big antennas. Let them do the work of covering the distance. And the same goes for power. What does the FCC say about how much power you should use on the radio? Minimum necessary to communicate. With repeaters, it's not only a good idea, but extra power doesn't do you any good once you're well into the repeater. Your signal is full quieting, as we call it, which means there's no noise or breakup on the signal. It can't get any better. Once it's in there solidly, it doesn't matter. If you're full quieting with 10 watts, there's no need to run 50. You're not going to be fuller quieting. If you need 50 watts to hold the machine open, though, and to get in there and have people be able to understand you, by all means, use it. But it's quite difficult to sit there trying to make sense out of what someone's saying when their signal keeps popping in and out of the repeater input. Two other notes about power and antennas. First of all, anytime you have a choice between more power and a better antenna, go for the antenna. Adding 3 dB or decibels of gain to your antenna system has the same effect as doubling your output power. Plus, it improves your reception as well. If you turn your rig from 10 watts to 50 watts, it's not going to help your reception. If you put on a good antenna with 3 dB gain that effectively doubles your power, it also effectively doubles the sensitivity of your receiver. Second, one of the things that makes FM audio more pleasing to listen to than AM is the fact that there's rarely competition between two signals for your receiver's attention. It's called the capture effect. When you hear two stations double or talk at the same time, usually one of them will win the double. That means you'll only hear that station and you won't hear anything of the next one. The only time you'll hear bits and pieces of each transmission is when the signals are of approximately equal strength when they reach the repeater's receiver. There's also picket fencing, scrambled eggs, and a host of other words that repeater operators use to describe what they're hearing on the repeater. I'll cover just a couple of the technical ones here. Full quieting, as I mentioned before, means your signal is loud and clear and there's no background noise. In other words, a perfect signal. And I also said you can't get any better than that. Well, I lied. You can be dead full quieting, or DFQ. The only way to be any quieter than DFQ is just to be D, or dead. In reality, there is no difference between full quieting and dead full quieting, and you can't be 50% full quieting. You either are or you're not. There's no in-between. Picket fencing is something that happens when you're not full quieting. As you drive or even walk carrying an HT, changes in the path between your radio and the repeater will result in variations in your signal strength as the repeater hears you. And this up and down signal of patterns is called picket fencing. Also, if you're not full quieting, you might have scrambled eggs on your signal. This is background noise on the frequency, and it has a hissing sound you'd associate with frying eggs. You're really in trouble when you have hash browns on your signal, though. Two more important technical terms, known as deviation and bandwidth. They're very much related to each other. Bandwidth is the amount of spectrum space that your signal takes up. The bandwidth of a typical signal from an HT is about 10 to 12 kilohertz, the figure that's determined by combining the radio's deviation and the audio frequencies in your voice. When you modulate an FM signal by speaking into the microphone, the frequency or bandwidth of that signal varies with the changes in your voice. The amount of variation your rig will allow is called its deviation. Most FM rigs have a maximum deviation of about 5 kilohertz. The audio frequencies of your voice are generally in the range of 300 to 3,000 hertz, or 0.3 to 3 kilohertz. So if we take a snapshot of your voice at, say, 2 kilohertz, deviating the transmitter by 4 kilohertz, we add them together, and that's 6 kilohertz. Then we have to multiply it by 2 because that's going out either side from the center frequency, because FM modulation goes both above and below. So a 4 kilohertz of deviation produced by a 2 kilohertz audio frequency creates a total bandwidth of 12 kilohertz. Now, if you're screaming into the microphone, hitting that maximum deviation of 5 kilohertz with a voice signal of 3 kilohertz, the total bandwidth is 16 kilohertz. And if you look in your repeater directory, you'll see that in a lot of parts of the country, the spacing between repeater channels is 15 kilohertz. So if you over-deviate your transmitter, it's even worse. It goes even wider. What happens? The parts of your signal that are outside the limits of both your transmitter and the repeater's receiver get clipped, making your audio sound distorted. Plus, if your deviation is cranked way up and you're over-deviating, you'll create splatter or signals off onto other frequencies, and that can cause interference, and it won't make you any friends. So it's important to be aware of your deviation, of signs that you need to make adjustments, and how to make those adjustments in case you need to, and consult your manual for that. An under-deviated signal is also hard for others to understand, so you want to get it just right. In closing, one of the best ways to stop being new is to understand what's going on when you turn on your radio, from programming the memories to how a repeater works to the basics of deviation and bandwidth. The more you understand, the better your signal will sound, the more quickly you can shed that label of new ham.
Rich Moseson, NW2L, editor of CQ VHF magazine, as excerpted from his talk given during the Repeater Basics Forum, sponsored by RAIN, during the 1996 Dayton Hamvention in Dayton, Ohio. For the RAIN Report, I'm Hap Holly, KC.RP.
The RAIN Report normally updates by Saturday morning at therainreport.com and via Twitter. The RAIN Report is copyright 1990-2012 RAIN. All rights reserved. Now, for all those connected with the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, bidding you very 73 from The Rain Report, www.therainreport.com.